You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Today marks 2 months since the Hamas attack on Israel, with more than 1,200 lives lost on the Israeli side and over 200 hostages taken. The developments since October 7th weigh heavily on Jews around the world and here at home. Tonight is also the beginning of the Jewish holiday, Hanukkah. And the message of Hanukkah is light in darkness, and it may feel more somber this year as Israel continues its war with Hamas and the families of the remaining hostages wait for their loved ones to be returned safely. All of this as U.S. officials issued an alert to faith-based groups this week about the rise and heightened risk of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. Here in our area, two of the largest Jewish congregations are B'nai Israel of Sacramento and the Chabad Jewish Community Center of Folsom and El Dorado Hills. While events and programs are planned for the holiday season, there is an undercurrent of tension, of stress, and pain as the war in Israel and Gaza rages on, as well as concerns over anti-Semitism here at home as well as abroad. Here today to help us better understand how the local Jewish community is navigating these difficult times are Rabbi Mona Alfi with B'nai Israel and Rabbi Yossi Grossbaum with Chabad Jewish Community Center. Welcome to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
I want to start off by giving each of you a moment to reflect as leaders in your communities, but also just as individuals yourselves. How are you reflecting as we hit the two-month mark of what took place on October 7th, how you're guiding your congregations, and how both of you have personally are dealing and navigating this time?
I think that this has been one of the most difficult times of my rabbinate, and I've been a rabbi for 25 years, and I cannot remember another time where there has been such an overwhelming sense of depression and anxiety within the Jewish community. Everybody is feeling it. Everybody has a connection to Israel. We have families there. We have friends there. This is deeply personal. And I don't think any of us anticipated the surge in anti-Semitism over the last month.
How about you, Rabbi Grossbaum?
Echo the sentiments. I mean, it's definitely been the most challenging, but I also think it's most important is in our role to be able to provide some hope and guidance for the community. It's been a time where people who we haven't heard from, members of our congregation who have been less present than others, shall we say, who have come looking for guidance, looking for insight, looking for inspiration, looking for connection. And I think there's no more important time than right now.
What does that tell you?
It tells me actually that the message of Hanukkah is very much relevant, because one of the primary messages of Hanukkah is that the soul of a Jew can never be extinguished. During the story of Hanukkah, I'm hoping that you're familiar generally with this story, there were no inspirational leaders like you had in biblical times, Moses, Joshua, people that were prophets that were able to give divine insight into what was taking place. There were people who were doing the best they could to serve God, but they were being persecuted. They didn't have any prophets saying, it's going to be fine, it's going to work out in the end. But they were their soul came forth and compelled them to stand up and take a stand and even put their lives on the line for what they knew was right. And I think we're seeing that today, where people who may not be participating in a regular service may not be showing up on Yom Kippur, when almost any Jewish person will try to show up. But now they're coming because it's touching their soul.
Yeah. Rabbi Alfi, I mean, some may think that, you know, today, this evening, the start of Hanukkah is coincidental with what happened on October 7th. You see it that way, or do you think it's a moment and an opportunity, as Rabbi Grossbaum was saying, to welcome more people into your synagogue and congregation who have maybe taken a pause over the years?
Well, first of all, I want to say I absolutely agree with everything Rabbi Grossman said, particularly the last part. People have been coming. They're seeking community. They're seeking connection. There's a renewed sense of Jewish identity and a sense of Jewish peoplehood in a way that I think had kind of ebbed away for many people for a while. In terms of it, I think you said, is it coincidental?
What does it have meaning for you?
Hanukkah this year definitely has different meanings than in past years. And, you know, there's so many different ways to interpret Hanukkah. But when it feels like it's ripped from the headlines, it's particularly painful. When it feels relevant that we are fighting for our existence, fighting to be able to be Jews. And Israel, you know, Hamas has made it very clear that it's not about Israel. They want to eradicate Jews. And that is a horrifying thought. And that's what Hanukkah was about. It wasn't about eradicating Jews. It was about eradicating Judaism, about stripping Judaism away from the Jewish people. And I'm sure, Rabbi, you've had the same conversations with congregants saying, should I wear my kippah in public? Should I wear my Jewish star out? I had a conversation this morning before I came over with a congregant who works in the education system. And she said, I felt like I needed to take my star off because I was afraid of all the conversations that were going on. And so that same sort of intimidation to stop Jews from being Jewish is what we're experiencing right now in the United States.
And you mentioned that there are so many people here who have personal and family ties to Israel. Your son is a student at Tel Aviv University. How has he been doing during this time?
He's been inspiring. He definitely does not want to share his stress or anxiety with us. We'll see it sometimes when we're on FaceTime and then the sirens go off. Literally had conversations with him where he's telling us, don't be worried about anything. And then in the middle of the conversation, I hear the sirens and he says, I'll call you after I go to the bomb shelter. But he wants to be there right now. He wants to stay. Our family is there. He doesn't want them to feel like he's abandoning them at a difficult time. So I'm proud of him.
As a parent, how are you getting through this time?
A lot of denial really helps me sleep. I'd say that's probably the best part. That and my husband is going to be flying out to Israel on Sunday to spend some time with our son. Mm.
And this is just one example. I would imagine within both of your congregations, there are so many people who can relate and resonate with what you're going through, Rabbi Alfie.
We have so many congregants. A huge percentage of our congregants have family in Israel. People forget that Judaism is not just a religion. Being a religion is part of who we are, but first and foremost, we're a family. You know, my congregation's name is B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel. That's who the Jewish people are. We are a giant family. So it is not at all strange that most of us have family and friends who are living in Israel.
Rabbi Grossbaum, how are you helping people navigate this time if they are in a similar situation as Rabbi Alfie and they have loved ones in Israel?
It's definitely challenging. I mean, my son was actually studying in Israel the past couple of years. This year, he's back in the States. And I feel a little guilty saying that I'm relieved. But we still have, I mean, I personally have some family over there. I think five of my relatives that are actually in Gaza right now serving in the Israeli military. There's many members of our congregation who are either originally from Israel or have relatives, friends, parents that live there. There were family members who, for the first 48 hours or so after the attack took place, weren't able to get through to their family and were fearing the worst. And you know, they were right in the areas that were attacked. So it definitely hit very close to home. And it takes a lot of strength to be able to calm the anxiety that really naturally comes up, especially nowadays with the social media. You see these pictures and videos, and it feels like it's happening next door. It feels like it's happening down the block. And it can be very, very frightening, and it definitely has caused a lot of people to be concerned. The message of Hanukkah, though, is really a message of resilience. It's a message of strength. It's a message of fighting back even when the odds are against us. And thankfully, in our neck of the woods, the fight is not a physical fight. It's more of a mental, a spiritual, emotional, sometimes internal fight. But it's a fight nonetheless, and it can be even many times more debilitating than a physical one.
I think this is also a reminder of the generational trauma that we as Jews experience. Yeah. Hanukkah took place over 2,000 years ago. It's the first of the attempts to eradicate us. It's not the last. And I think what's going on right now, when you talk about the psychological stress that we're going through, it's hard for us not to kind of lean back into that, the gut fears that we've been raised with. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this isn't a fanciful holiday. This is a historical holiday. One of many, sadly, in our calendar that talks about eradication of the Jewish people. And so I think for people right now, that fear just has kind of risen to the surface in a way that a lot of us who were born and raised in the United States never thought that we would experience personally.
Right. Although, but that's 100% true. And the message of Hanukkah is that though they've tried to destroy us and though there are people that are still actively trying to destroy us, we will survive and we will thrive and we'll celebrate. We'll turn around and we'll be celebrating this as a holiday.
It's as the joke goes, they tried to kill us. we survived. Let's eat.
Right.
I really want to get to the let's eat part. And we're not at the let's
not
eat
have
part
to worry
yet.
About the right. They tried to kill us.
Yeah.
Rabbi Alfi, you mentioned this being just such an unprecedented time, but it does remind me of 1999 in Sacramento when with B'nai Israel as well as other congregations here in Sacramento. Can you remind us about that time? It really wasn't that long ago.
So it's actually 25 years ago this coming June. In June of 1999, two white supremacist brothers within 2 weeks. So in one night within, I think, an hour or two, they firebombed B'nai Israel, Beth Shalom, and Knesset Israel, three of the synagogues in town. And then within the next 2 weeks, they also set fire to a Planned Parenthood and murdered two men, a gay couple, in their beds and slaughtered them in their beds. And while that was a terrifying time, it was also an inspiring time because the entire Sacramento community came together and rallied together and supported each other. And there was an incredible outpouring of love across faith lines and ethnic lines. This is different because there's now a sense of isolation. And there's also some pain. B'nai Israel has been very involved in interfaith work well before 1999, since our founding during the Gold Rush. And wonderful, close relationships between the Jewish and Muslim communities right now are strained. And that's hard and that's painful. Both communities are suffering profoundly. And it's hard for us to talk with each other about it. And that's something that weighs heavy on me right now, that Sacramento's interfaith community is being tested by what's happening in Israel and Gaza.
Yeah, and that is an example, I think, of a lot of conversations that are happening, especially on social media, especially when you look at the comments of things as things develop, since this is a fluid and ongoing situation. And things don't just exist on social media, right? They happen also at a dinner table and with friends. How do you recommend people talk about what's happening? Because it seems like there are times when there's not only a debate, but there can be argument about what's happening right now. Rabbi Grossbaum?
Well, it's sometimes easier just to listen to other people are saying rather than try to talk. There's definitely some pain on every side of the story, and it's incumbent on all of us to listen to listen to the suffering of others as well. Even if we may not agree politically, we may not agree with how things should play out, who's right, who's wrong. That doesn't counter the fact that there are people that are suffering, and we should listen to what people are going through and experiencing. Just with regards to the story of Hanukkah, and you mentioned before the question, how we're guiding the community with regards to celebrating at a time where there's obviously this cloud over everyone's head. The message of the process of observing Hanukkah is lighting a menorah, lighting this candelabra, which is traditionally supposed to be lit at the window. And it actually says that the purpose of lighting it at the window is to illuminate the darkness. It's supposed to be lit in the evening when it's dark. It's supposed to light up the darkness. That's in a very physical sense and also in a spiritual and in a sense of the way we act and the way we interact with people should be in a way of providing light over darkness. Instead of fighting with people and arguing with people and getting into pointless discussions, the best way to go about things is to be like the menorah and not fight with the darkness, but light. And when we light, it automatically, the darkness recedes. And another point with Hanukkah is that the first night we light one candle. The second night, the one candle we lit last night was not enough. We have to light two. And the point is that we should be constantly looking to add in goodness and positivity, acts of light. What we did yesterday was great for yesterday, but today we should be inspired to do something more.
I just want to jump in real quick because I know that when you said the light we lit last night, you were using it as an example.
Right.
I don't want to stress out the Jews out there who think, oh, my gosh, I thought it started tonight, not last night. Hanukkah starts tonight.
Correct. Glad for the clarification. Yes, tonight is the first night. And I'd encourage everyone to actually do that, to light the menorah.
Given that, Rabbi Alfie, you have been in this position for 25 years, and you talk about having strained conversations and relationships with people where you had strong relationships, you know, how do you give advice to, I think a lot of people are going through that right now.
I agree with Rabbi Yossi 100%. It's important to listen. And I think arguing doesn't move the situation forward. But really listening to people's pain, hearing where they're coming from, I think it's important to speak about your truth as opposed to saying, you are this, saying, I feel this. Mm-hmm. And it makes it very different to, it's important not to put the other person on the hot seat, but to allow them to experience what you're going through. I'm still having those conversations, as hard as they are, as drained as I might feel after some of them. I'm not going to stop having those conversations because those are relationships and friendships that I value beyond measure.
Finally, Hanukkah starts tonight. What can people who are not Jewish take away from the holiday?
Right. Well, first of all, I'd mention that if you don't know what to say, just say, I'm thinking of you. You don't have to know what to say, but I know that every Jewish person would appreciate if someone, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker would say, hey, I heard what's going on, I know what's going on, I understand that it's a lot for your community, just know that we're thinking of you, praying for you. And as well as that, the message of Hanukkah is a universal one, the idea of light over darkness, the idea of increasing in positivity. You don't have to be Jewish to do that.
I completely agree. The world feels very dark right now. And it's important that each of us in our own way find a way to be the light, to be the shining spark of hope for a better and more peaceful world.
Rabbi Mona Alfie is with Congregation B'nai Israel, and Rabbi Yossi Grossbaum is with Chabad Jewish Community Center in Folsom and El Dorado Hills. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.